Gray wolves found their way to Oregon without any particular human help. Wolves were reintroduced to the landscape in Idaho and other states and migrated from there. This last year brought the news that radio-collared wolf OR7 found a mate, stopped wandering, and had pups with his mate in western Oregon, the first wolf pack in western Oregon in decades. The anecdotal leads to the statistical. There's plenty of evidence of more wolves all around Oregon. And under wolf management guidelines already in place, the numbers are enough to change the ways in which wolves are managed. Conservation groups have a few issues there, including Cascadia Wildlands, for which Josh Laughlin is the campaign director and our guest once again on the Jefferson Exchange. Josh, welcome back to the program. Josh Laughlin, you there?
I'm here.
Can you
hear me?
Yeah, now we got you. Okay. So based on current wolf numbers, it sounds like the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife moves to a change in approach. Can you explain that?
Yeah, sure. Well, per the stakeholder-developed Oregon Wolf Recovery and Management Plan that was created about 10 years ago, it set out some thresholds to be met in order for wolves to slowly move towards being recovered. And just last week, I guess it was, one of those thresholds was met. It's an incredibly exciting time in Oregon. We had, for three consecutive years, we had four packs of wolves in eastern Oregon that successfully had pups through the calendar year. So that moves us, again, in eastern Oregon into phase two management, which, you know, still requires the agency to focus on reaching recovery objectives, but it does allow for more management flexibility both on the state and livestock producers' part if there's conflict, continuous conflict between wolves and livestock.
So three consecutive years with four packs of wolves with breeding pairs?
Yeah, exactly. And a breeding pair is defined as a pack that has at least two pups that survived the calendar year. And actually, throughout the whole state this year, we had nine packs, confirmed packs in the state, seven of which were breeding pairs. But in the eastern portion, there were at least four pairs for the third consecutive year, which triggers this management change.
But it is a hard line, and so if there had been one less breeding pair or it wasn't three straight years, it would not have triggered into phase two?
Correct. Yeah, it's a very firm sideboard built into the Oregon Wolf Recovery Management Plan. I mean, basically what's happening here is, as was anticipated, is wolves are really beginning to, wolf packs are really beginning to blossom and spread and fill their historic territories throughout the state. Keep in mind, you know, wolves were systematically eradicated across the state, and it's, you know, over the last 10 years, they've slowly been filling those suitable habitats across the state and starting to arguably get towards a potential saturation in that northeast Oregon portion. I believe there's close to seven packs up in that area north of I-84, and we're starting to see wolves disperse from packs like they naturally do and form packs with other dispersers. It's an incredibly exciting time for wolf recovery in the state. And of course, listeners, I'm sure, have heard of OR7 and what's now been dubbed the Rogue Pack southwest of Crater Lake. And actually, just last week, the state confirmed there's two new wolves in the same vicinity due south of Crater Lake, separate from the Rogue Pack, right on the Oregon-California border. So again, wolves are doing what they do naturally, reclaim their historic territories, fill that unoccupied, suitable habitat, so long as there's an adequate prey base.
The wolves you're mentioning south of Crater Lake, those are the ones near Keno?
Yeah, exactly. Yep, in the Keno Management Unit west of west of Klamath Falls, due south of Crater Lake, on just north of the California border.
We're talking wolf recovery with Josh Laughlin at Cascadia Wildlands. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 around the region, 800-838-3760, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Josh, there's a little history here with your group's involvement in the process, and run us through that if you would, because there has been some legal action here too, correct?
Yeah, sure. Well, we were very involved in the creation of the Oregon Wolf Recovery and Management Plan over 10 years ago. And every 5 years, it goes through a kind of an update, you know, where the state takes a fresh look at it to see if any tweaks need to be made. So we were actively involved during the five-year review process, of which there's going to be one coming up this year in 2015. We've also done a lot of outreach and education to Oregonians and the American public, really trying to just educate the public about wolves and really try and dispel some myths that have enshrouded wolves since time immemorial, really. Wolves were systematically eradicated, not just here, but here in the U.S., but over in Europe. And that whole same process happened throughout the U.S., so just spending a lot of time educating public that it really isn't the big bad wolf coming to eat your children, that this is a native animal that's lived here and has a rightful place on the landscape. So, yeah, we do a lot of education. We also have a legal shop. And about 4 years ago, we filed a legal challenge when we believed the state was illegally killing wolves in Oregon, when there was really just a handful of wolves in the state, and we secured a legal injunction on killing wolves in the state. And that led to a successful settlement negotiation, which really set up a balanced plan for wolf recovery in the state, and really with firm sideboard said when you can use lethal control on wolves. There wasn't just complete discretion by the state agency, but really incentivized best animal livestock husbandry. I mean, if livestock producers are utilizing the non-lethal proactive tools at their disposal, but are still suffering losses time after time, there's a lethal control option that could be used really as a last resort. And it really just set up a system of checks and balances and transparency, and is arguably the best state wolf plan in the country, and is working since the plan was since the negotiation was finalized. Not a single wolf has been lethally controlled in Oregon, so that's over 3 years. And livestock losses have gone down because of these proactive non-lethal efforts that are taking place. So there's a way to do it, and there's a way not to do it, and we feel like Oregon's on the right track, and on its way to recovering wolves in the state.
But lethal controls are now more likely under this phase two?
In eastern Oregon, there's more discretion for the state agency to use lethal control. We don't have as many strict sideboards of when, for example, under the negotiated rule, there had to be four livestock losses attributed to the same wolf or wolves in a six-month period in order for lethal control to be considered. And keep in mind that those livestock producers that would have suffered would have had to been using proactive non-lethal efforts. It set up that four losses in six-month system. So under phase two now in eastern Oregon, it's a lot less strict, and there's more flexibility for the agency. So it's when there's two losses, really in an unidentified time period, that there's an option for lethal control. So we're going to continue to keep a close eye on that. We believe the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife has been doing a real strong job in following the intent of the settlement agreement. And we believe they're going to continue to do that, and as wolves inch their way towards recovery in the state.
So you're confident enough that the controls are still stringent enough that we're not going to hear about wolves being shot left and right anytime soon?
It's my belief that that's not going to be the case, but we're going to continue to keep a real close eye on what's going on the ground. The phase two also gives livestock producers more flexibility as well. For example, if a wolf is caught in the act of chasing livestock, lethal control by the livestock producer can be utilized. So we don't expect a wolf bloodbath here now that we've gone from phase one into phase two, but absolutely still want to continue to keep a real close eye on it as wolves continue to make their historic recovery back in the state of Oregon.
Josh Laughlin, again, is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the campaign director from Cascadia Wildlands. We're talking about wolf management in Oregon. You can be part of this, 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. The terminology used, I notice, is lethal methods. Are there options besides shooting?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's really what the negotiated settlement rule detailed. For example, there's different tools at the disposal of livestock producers. Actually, in fact, there's a state appropriation, basically a state fund that livestock producers can tap into to get a hold of non-lethal tools like electrified fencing around livestock birthing pens, funds to get a livestock guard dog, funds to hire a range rider, which is essentially a cowboy on horseback patrolling the backcountry in areas where there are known wolf packs in close proximity to livestock herds. So really human presence in that case with a range rider is really critical in deterring conflict. So being proactive and utilizing these non-lethal tools at the disposal of livestock producers is really going to be essential in helping define the success of wolf recovery in Oregon.
Now, I understand there's another shoe going to drop about wolves this year with a census released in March. Do we have that total census yet?
We don't, but we have a pretty good guess. We know that there's at least 9 packs of wolves in Oregon right now per the state, and we know that there's other individuals out there, for example, like the wolves down in the Keno Wildlife Unit. There's uncollared dispersed wolves throughout the state. My guess is there's going to be close to 90 to 100 wolves confirmed in the state once the census comes out by the state in March. At the end of 2013, there was a confirmed 64 wolves. So if you look to other states that have been going through gray wolf recovery over the last 15, 20 years, this is very similar pattern. Wolves begin to, their growth begins to compound.
So they are growing. Yeah, to go from 64 to 90 alone would be a significant number right then and there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's compounding for sure. A little unclear on protection for wolves under the Endangered Species Act or any federal stuff. I mean, there is division between East and Western Oregon. What else do we know, though?
Yeah, the big thing that we're keeping our close eye on is there's an ongoing federal proposal, an Obama administration proposal, to strip federal Endangered Species Act protections from gray wolves across nearly all of the United States, which is absolutely absurd if you look at it from the big picture. There are states like Colorado and Utah and down in the Southwest that don't have wolves back in them yet, where there's suitable habitat and adequate prey base, yet the Obama administration wants to strip protections and say the job's done and mission's accomplished. It's just not the case. It's clear that the administration wants to wash its hands of gray wolf recovery because it is a very controversial and challenging issue for federal wildlife managers to handle. And they want to turn management over to individual states, which we think is a real bad decision, bad idea. I mean, if you look over to Idaho, they want to drive their wolf population back to the legal floor, which is 150 wolves from about 650 wolves. Places like Utah, where there's no confirmed wolves today, they're trying to pass state measures to make it illegal to be a wolf in the state and shoot on site. So really with those kind of tendencies towards wolves, it really doesn't give them a chance in places like Utah. So we are going to continue to fight tooth and nail until there's a comprehensive federal recovery program for gray wolves across the United States. It's not just about Oregon. It's about a comprehensive recovery program for a species that was systematically and wrongly eradicated from the landscape a while back.
You know, you were talking earlier about the big bad wolf, the second person to use that term in the last week about wolves on the exchange, and yet still it seems the media depictions can be rather threatening. I don't know if you saw any of the Super Bowl ads, but there was a Budweiser ad with the Clydesdales and the puppy and everything and a snarling wolf right in the middle of it all.
Yeah, I guess I wouldn't expect anything different from Budweiser during the Super Bowl. But you know, it goes on to your point. You know, there's hundreds of years of mythology that we're trying to dispel, and it doesn't happen overnight. But I believe it's continuing to happen on a daily basis. The general public is recognizing that wolves play a real key role in maintaining ecosystem balance. That they have a home here in the West, and that they belong here. American public wants to see recovery of native animals. And we do all we can to educate the public about the ecological benefits that gray wolves provide and the balance they restore to the landscape. So it's a day-by-day, step-by-step approach, but times are changing, and we believe that education's happening, and that's going to help the gray wolf in the long run.
All right, we'll hear about the census in just a few weeks here. Josh Laughlin, again, the campaign director at Cascadia Wildlands, talking about wolf recovery in Oregon. Josh, thanks so much for joining us once again on the Jefferson Exchange.
Hey, I appreciate the opportunity.